Hello, Grave Talks family. It's Tony Bruschi. If you love the Grave Talks, you'll probably love our other podcast if you're already not a subscriber of it, Real Ghost Stories Online. The following is a 15-minute preview of this week's Extra Podcast Person, or EPP, bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoy. Do you look for signs? Are you aware of your surroundings enough as you're going throughout your day to even catch those signs? That's something I find myself struggling with quite often. Not that I'm saying I'm looking for signs, but if I didn't have my phone in my hand and I'm constantly like, what's the weather going to be? What's this going to be like? Let's check the news. And as I'm walking, you know, around in the beautiful countryside, I'm staring at this device and I'm missing some of those subtle things. A cardinal every single day on my window as I walk by it. Flock of bluebirds off in the side. The sun beating down in just a certain way it does at a time of day that just looks amazing on the field and the grass and the pasture that lines my drive coming up. I miss those things because I'm so engulfed in the day-to-days of life. I think we all do things like that. And it's not just about picking up the beauty of life. It's also about picking up on some of those signs that may be coming in from other places, other people. People that we care about, people that are still with us. But we only know it if we keep that eye out and we become more one with where we are and who we are and what we're doing and being present. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear some stories about people trying to be present, or they're pulled into being present, and they start realizing, oh, I think this can't just be a coincidence. Things go a little bit beyond that, maybe from beyond the grave. We're going to hear about loved ones that can sometimes return in the most ironic of ways, ways it could possibly just be luck or good timing, but sometimes they do, they just push it so darn far. But yeah, that's a message from the other side. And some teens take experiences to the grave. Yeah, the experiences they had. They share a lot of them, but they flat out say some of these things that happened that night, we're not talking about. As they encounter a life-altering paranormal night. And yes, it involves a Ouija board. Those stories today on EPP bonus episode number 342 of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Coincidences are an interesting thing, especially when we're dealing with the loss and the pain associated with a loved one. Sometimes our brain will just naturally search for answers. That's what it's trying to do, regardless of whether or not something else is coming in and interfering or intervening with messages for us. It's trying to make sense out of what a lot of our well-being and our beings will just basically gauge as nonsensical. Why would this stop? Why would that happen there? How did this person just disappear? We try to find answers. We try to find meaning. But what happens when some of those meanings that we're finding, some of those messages that seem to come through, feel like far more than just a coincidence? Not just those moments of, oh, there's their favorite color, or there we're driving by this place they really liked. But no, there's things that are coming through to us through the radio, coming through to us through television, coming through to us just walking down the street. And then sometimes there's just a sign, literally a sign, or maybe there's a penny or what have you. And when you have a lot of them, one after another, one has to say, maybe there's something more going on here than just me seeking this out. Maybe these things are seeking me out. Maybe it's them. Maybe it's the universe. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's whatever that knows I need that little bit of solace, that little bit of hope, that little bit of faith, that little bit of love that's missing right now. And it's trying to give that back to us. That's what I think happens in our next story. Take a listen. I wrote to the show about 3 months ago in early September with a story about my mom being visited by her favorite uncle. I'm not sure if the story's aired because I've fallen a bit behind in episodes, and in a minute, you'll understand how. Things have been chaotic and distracting since then, to say the very least. I've been catching up the best I can, but figured I'd take a few minutes to write in, this time about my mother. In late September, I was at work and received a call from my dad. He was calling to tell me that Mom had not been feeling well and fell in the bathroom. She twisted her knee badly. When the EMTs arrived to help her, she had a fever of 102 degrees. Upon the arrival to the hospital, they administered a rapid test, and my mother tested positive for COVID-19. She was admitted immediately. 2 days later, Mom was transferred to the ICU. My parents live all the way in Florida, so I spent the next few days calling the nurse's station to check in. I tried to talk to my mom, but it was just too difficult for her to speak. She'd been admitted to the hospital on Monday. And by that Friday, the head nurse informed me that if I were planning to say goodbye in person, that I'd need to do it that weekend. My sister Amy and I flew down, me from Washington, she from New Jersey, and the very next morning, 3 days later, my mom was gone. Dad had contracted the virus as well. He was asymptomatic and had since recovered, thank goodness, but it meant that we could not be with him or plan any kind of service, obviously. We were staying at a rental home owned by some close family friends. He told us to go home, that there was nothing more that we could do. We were in Florida for exactly a week. Now, I do not want to get too far into the medical or corporal things I witnessed in those days. It was all completely horrifying, as you can only imagine. But Amy and I experienced some amazing things that we believe in having been from the other side. Some signs that seem to come directly from Mom. And that is the real content I'm trying to get off the ground here. Now, due to Mom's rapidly declining condition, my sister and I could skirt normal visiting hours. The hospital staff all pretty much knew who we were, which in hindsight is not a good thing. We visited each day, sometimes more than once, and tried to communicate with Mom the best we could through the ICU glass over the phone. On some visits, she was barely responsive. Other times, she would nod or choke out a few words like yeah or okay. We could tell that she knew we were there, but there was no strength left. Then one night, we were sitting at the rental watching TV. The phone rang, and it was Dad. He said, "I have a favor to ask." Apparently, Mom had woken up and asked the nurse to call him. She talked to him for a few minutes and asked him if he could please bring her lemon ice. Mom always loved frozen treats like Italian ice and popsicles. I can even remember her just freezing juice or soda when I was a kid because she loved that kind of stuff so much. We were all amazed that she had communicated so specifically. And let me tell you, my sister and I hauled ass out of that house and straight to the store to find what she might have been looking for. We were tearing through every local supermarket when suddenly it dawned on Amy. Culver's lemon ice. We flew across town to a Culver's, but the lemon ice was not on the menu. I asked, "Please tell me you still have it." They did, and we bought the biggest one available. When we finally arrived at the hospital, Mom was sitting up with the lights on in her little glass room. She smiled and waved and said, "Hi." Her nurse already knew why we were there, and she had facilitated the phone call to my dad. So she suited up in her PPE and brought the frozen treat into the room. We stood together watching her enjoy her lemon ice. We were beside ourselves with joy, getting to witness the pure happiness Mom seemed to be experiencing. She was even able to feed some of it to herself. We stood outside those glass walls for what felt like hours, talking to her the best we could, showing pictures of the kids through the glass, showing pictures of favorite celebrities to make her laugh. She especially loved Harry Styles, whom she called her British grandson. When she spoke, we could hear her without the help of the telephone. We even saw her catch a glimpse of her own reflection in the glass and try to fix her hair. It was as though she was finally herself again. It gave us some hope that maybe this was a turnaround. After a little while, she asked us to get the nurse. She said, "I'm tired." We said goodbye, and that we would see her again tomorrow, and we left. In the wee hours of the next morning, I got a call to hurry and get there, that this was it. We hustled out the door as fast as we could, but Mom was gone by the time we arrived. I knew it before we even laid eyes on her, just based upon the way the staff parted to let us through, as though Moses himself had just walked into the ICU. We cried. The nurses sympathized. We called Dad to tell him. I signed some release forms and we left. We rode the elevator down the lobby, hand in hand, and on our way out the door, the receptionist shouted, "Margaret!" Mom's name was Margaret. My sister and I looked at each other and squeezed hands. On the drive back, the silence was just too much. I turned on the radio and caught Harry Styles midway through his song, "Adore You." Brown skin and lemon over ice, would you believe it? Amy and I looked at each other. No, Harry, we certainly did not believe it. Now, when we were little, one of the terms of endearment Mom used for us was bunny. Towards the end of the car ride, we started discussing what our next steps would be. We wondered what was going to happen with our dad, since we were not able to be with him at all due to him being positive for COVID-19. I said something along the lines of, I don't know, what can we do? You know, he's just going to tell us to go home. I'm probably just going to go if he's not showing symptoms. When right then a bunny hopped out right in front of the car and just stopped looking at us. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It is a good one. This story, great. Our second story, also totally awesome. To hear it all, and our second story were some teens take some experiences to the grave as they encounter a life-altering paranormal night. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, our advanced episodes of the show commercial-free. You also get access to quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. That's what we have here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want it all, then sign up. Start binging away now. Just go to ghostpodcast.com, sign up there. Or if you prefer, directly through the Patreon app, patreon.com/realghoststories. You will not regret it. Like I said, it's the largest audio archive of ghost stories ever told, and you get brand new exclusive material as an EPP, an extra podcast person, every single week. That's what helps keep us on the air. Again, ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support of Real Ghost Stories Online.